raise your hand if you remember this theme song. Yeah, it's from the 1980s cult TV classic 21 Jump Street, and it's performed by one of the show's stars, Holly Robinson Peete, who played Officer Judy Hoffs.
I'm Judy Hoffs. That's okay, honey. My people don't do that anymore.
Classic. In the early 90s, Holly Robinson was hanging with Mr. Cooper as a regular on the ABC series. And she even received a surprise on-set proposal from her NFL quarterback boyfriend, Rodney Peete.
You're the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life. I love you with all my heart.
Yes!
28 years later, Holly and Rodney are still going strong and continuing a family tradition of using celebrity status to contribute to the greater good. In 1997, Holly and her husband Rodney founded the Holly Rod Foundation. And through Holly Rod, she's helped many by bringing awareness and resources for children on the autism spectrum. It was a decision based on her family's journey with their eldest son, RJ. Now, I was aware of Holly's work in this area, but I rarely thought about autism until my family learned our youngest child was also on the autism spectrum. It's been years since that diagnosis, but there's one person in particular that I've always wanted to talk with about it.
My name is Holly Robinson Peete. I'm an actor, author, mom of four.
I wanted to know how she and her family made the decision to speak publicly about her son RJ's autism.
I remember very clearly those days, those early days of the diagnosis. I remember the chaos that ensued. I remember feeling hopeless and helpless. I remember my husband, Rodney Peete, was playing football. He was a quarterback and he was gone and he couldn't process it. And so it was really chaotic. And now people look at me and they go, oh, you're such a great advocate. And you just got the diagnosis and you picked yourself up and started advocating. Well, no, I was a hot mommy mess in the beginning. It wasn't until probably when RJ was more like 8 or 9 that I was really able to talk about it and process what autism was and advocate publicly. I did that because I didn't see anybody else doing it. And I knew and was aware of other quote unquote celebrity or famous people who had children on the spectrum, but were hiding it or didn't want to talk about it. And I knew that I could affect change in the autism community by having a public conversation. So we sat down around a table, quite literally, and presented our cases. My husband was not for it. He did not want his son, I labeled as the quarterback and actress's son who, you know, had autism and, you know, he just did not want that for his life. But I really knew because I wasn't seeing any representation in the media or anybody really advocating, I really knew that we had to do it. So we really did a pro and versus con situation, and I won because I win all the arguments in my family. So that just comes with the territory. But quite frankly, it was really a very, very thought out process that we did. And I'm so glad we did, because now I look up all these years later and I see the advocacy we've been able to do and the awareness we've been able to raise. And I'm so glad. But those early days were really difficult. But in the end, you know, sharing is really important. When people see what you're going through, it helps them feel less alone.
I am so personally grateful that you did. My daughter, so my eldest is 19, nearly 20, but our little one is 7, and we received the autism spectrum diagnosis, I guess maybe 2.5, 3 years old. And that sense of chaos that you talk about, for me, I think it was less chaos and more denial. My husband actually was the one who was like, oh, good, now we have a thing, you know, now we'll form the team, now we'll just sort of, you know, move forward and doing all the supporting. And I was like, are they sure? Are you serious? I mean, is that really what it is? Couldn't it be something else? Maybe this is racism. Like, quite literally, I was prepared to call it any other thing.
Right. Listen, I'm so glad you shared that with me. I didn't know that. And I think that I'm glad you shared that portion of it, because a lot of times the dads get sort of put in this corner of being the parent that always immediately goes into denial. Now, that did happen to be the case with my husband. He did. He was stressed about how his son wasn't going to be the next Heisman Trophy winner and wasn't going to following his footsteps. And when he would come to the football games, he would, you know, stem and flap and twirl. And, you know, he just wasn't engaged. And it was hard for Rodney Pete. Like, he was just devastated by this diagnosis. So he was a little paralyzed by it. So I did become the gangster mom and rolled up my sleeves and just like went to battle for this kid. But I still was in a little bit of denial myself, but I was more focused on, you know, getting that intervention early. And like your daughter, my son was diagnosed around 3 years old, but I knew it too, and really just couldn't get the diagnosis. There was a lot of denial going on with my pediatrician and my husband, and they kind of teamed up, and it was a whole thing. But in hindsight, I'm just, you know, I'm really, really glad that he came around and really understood that I needed him on Team RJ.
You know, oh, so interesting you call it Team RJ. We call our crew of supporters Team Anna. And we, you know, we have these sort of regular meetings, and they're, you know, they're always on my Google Calendar as Team Anna. And interestingly enough, it's in part because one of the things I learned about how her autism manifests is that she really knows who's on her side and who's not. And she don't really truck with folks who are not Team Anna. She is down for the people who are down for her. But let me say, part of why the diagnosis was so difficult for me is it's as though someone tells you there's a thing, but it's not a thing. There isn't. My bet is that RJ and Anna are as different from one another as they are from, you know, typical processing kids. And I'm wondering sort of how, as maybe we're talking to other parents who are first getting this diagnosis, how they can think about getting to know their child and not just a diagnosis.
Yeah. So the first thing I tell parents, and I talk to a lot of parents when they're first getting the diagnosis, is to kick in those teams, right? Team Anna, Team RJ, start those now, early on. Just, and they don't have to be family, because sometimes family doesn't get it, Melissa. Sometimes they just don't get it. So it can just be people that can be in his or her corner, because as you grow older, you need to develop a community for them. You know, that said, you're right. If autism is the hardest part about trying to explain it to my friends and my family is that it is a spectrum disorder. So the kids are going to be so vastly different in so many ways. But the one thing that they do share in common, mostly I find, is the social piece, is the inability or the difficulty in having friends and, you know, really just moving in the world in a way that, you know, everybody looks at and doesn't comment on. So that was part of my journey, was to try to normalize neurodiversity, you know, mm-hmm. trying to normalize the fact that not everybody processes everything the same way. And so you're not going to just get, you know, that's what makes us unique. And so that involves people going out of their way to understand who our kids are and how they present themselves into the world. And that's difficult because human beings are interesting. And, you know, kids can be not friendly sometimes, but sometimes they can be pretty amazing. So the battle has been constantly, you know, guarding this boy's heart. And now that he's 24, you know, trying to establish some sort of some sort of independence and a self-identity and self-advocacy, I found out that I was kind of standing in his way a little bit. I had to be the one that, you know, my husband had to call me off and just say, you know, you gotta let him go. You gotta let him fail. You gotta, you know, stop being his bodyguard. And that was hard for me to do. But once I did it, I did notice some great things happening to him. But, you know, as moms, our job is to protect our kids. And so we're on it, you know, we're on it 24/7.
And of course, RJ is not your only son. You are the gangster mom times four. Talk to me about how sort of jumping into action, parenting RJ, being focused on doing the work to create the team that is necessary, also affected, impacted, maybe improved or made more difficult some of the work of parenting your other kids.
Oh boy, that's the part, you know, I don't have a lot of regrets in our autism journey, our 20-year autism journey, but I do wish I had. RJ has a twin sister. So I do wish I had given her a little bit more one-on-one attention so that she was not sort of identified or as being his sister, the sister, the neurotypical twin, the one that doesn't have autism. That now she's just graduated from college, and now she's, you know, she's feeling the brunt of that now. So if I always counsel parents, I say, if you have other kids, make time, find time to just be with them one-on-one. Look them in the eye, ask them, don't bring up the affected sibling or the issues that you're having. Don't even say the word autism. Just take your child to the most random place and have an experience that they can call their own that doesn't surround your child with autism. So if I had to go back and do all that again, I probably would have done that differently and been a little bit more patient and kind and understanding, compassionate with his sibling, with his twin sister. Now, the other two are a little bit further apart. So they're, well, now they're 24, 24, 19, and 16. And so they kind of bonded, the two younger ones, but they're amazing advocates for their brother. And but they weren't as defined by autism growing up as Ryan, his twin sister, was. So I look at the family as, you know, they're all advocates. They love RJ. They love him in a way that is so strong and so beautiful. And they protect him in a way that is amazing. So they've been, you know, unbelievable members of Team RJ. But I'm always counseling parents to try to incorporate the other siblings, your other kids, in ways that, you know, have less to do with autism. So they're not so defined by that experience.
Now, your industry is entertainment. I first became obsessed with you with, I apologize for bringing this up, but with 21 Jump Street.
Don't apologize for bringing up 21 Jump Street. I'm proud of that show. That show was iconic. And you want to hear something hilarious? It made me just feel so old and irrelevant. But my kids, when the 21 Jump Street movies came out and they asked me to do a cameo in it, my kids' friends were like, why is your mom randomly in this movie? I was like, oh, we'll see. It was about a show first. I love the show and I'm very proud of it. And I walk, you know, I am not Ginger from Gilligan's Island, who famously never wanted to be called Ginger and hated the show. And, you know, I love 21 Jump Street. I love Judy Hoff's, the character, because at that time, Melissa, there were very few Black women on TV who were in positive roles. She was the only girl on the show and she held her head high and really did some groundbreaking topics on TV that we didn't talk about really too much in the late 80s. So shout out to 21 Jump Street. I'm very proud of that.
For real. I'm so happy that you are, because sometimes people really do hate talking about that early moment, but I loved that show. And I have to say, I am a little bit of a Christmas nerd. So I also watch all the holiday stuff. And I know that part of your work in the entertainment industry, in addition to the foundation work and the advocacy, but within entertainment, has been trying to sort of get the entertainment industry caught up with accurate portrayals of autism and of families who are living with, coping with part of the autism family. So talk to us a little bit about the first Hallmark holiday movie with an autistic character.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so proud of this movie. Our Christmas Journey is a Hallmark Channel Christmas movie, which just recently aired this Christmas season, and it will, like all Hallmark Christmas movies, will run into perpetuity, so everyone can catch it somewhere. But this one is really special. So I've always wanted to do a movie about a family impacted by autism, and I also knew that it was important to have the representation and have the actor have autism or have some connection with autism in a way that they understood the role. And when we found Nick Sanchez, a young 17-year-old actor, you know, his autism is like something that he really wears on his sleeve. He advocates. He's just a phenomenal young man. And I found him through my friends Boris Kojo and Nicole Ari Parker, you know, that ugly couple.
Oh, yeah. They're so funny looking. Yeah,
right. They're just so hard on the eyes, right? They're the most cool, down-to-earth people, and we've been longtime friends forever, and they're just fun and self-deprecating and hilarious. But they, Boris directed a movie for Lifetime that Nicole starred in, and they called me last spring and said, we found your kid. This kid is in this movie and he should be in your movie. And so he came on and portrayed this character of Marcus. And the story is really about letting go, right? About Marcus becoming a young man. And we found a place for him to go, which is based on a real place in New York called the Center for Discovery, which is where adults on the autism spectrum will go and learn and be independent and farm the land and eat organically. And it's like a utopian space, but it's a real spot that I'm very familiar with. And so we created this movie about this family dealing with autism from all angles. The parents are divorced, and the father wasn't so much in denial, but he just really struggled raising the son, but was always there to provide for him. Very overzealous mother, played by me, which, you know, was not too hard to do, but always protecting his heart. And then there's a mother character, a grandmother character, who's just awesome, who reminds me of my mom, who was just there for me the whole time. And then the sister was really important. So the sister was really a microcosm of my daughter and other siblings I know who didn't feel seen. And it was always about their son or their brother with autism. So I love this movie and I'm so excited about it. It is the first major movie role that in a leading role that is a character with autism that was played by an actor with autism. I really firmly believe that. Some people have been challenging me in social media, but every time I say name another actor with autism who's played a role with autism in a leading role, they can't give it back to me. So I'm claiming it for Nick Sanchez, and he has a bright future ahead of him because representation is very important. If we don't see people with autism, if we don't see their experiences and stories told in the media, then we're not going to understand that there's not going to be as much acceptance. For about 4 years, we did a reality show called Meet the Peets, and another version of it was called For Pete's Sake. And it was really about RJ and about our rallying around him and helping him through life. And so I've just always wanted to make sure that there was representation and to be able to be an executive producer of Our Christmas Journey and make sure that this role was cast properly was a real blessing.
When you say representation matters, I feel like your departed father, who played the original Gordon on Sesame Street, must be somewhere smiling and saying, yes, that's right. That is the lesson learned. Representation matters. And Sesame Street now has introduced the character of Julia, who has autism.
Oh, my gosh, Melissa, that talk about a full circle moment. They asked me, Sesame Workshop asked me to come to Capitol Hill and introduce Julia when she first came out. We did a big press conference, and the full circleness of that moment was so powerful that they would ask me to be a part of Julia's unveiling, if you will. And that was just one of the best days of my life because I felt my dad in the room to have started this show, this amazing show. And if anybody is bored and wants to watch TV and see a good documentary, please watch Street Gang. It's about the early days of Sesame Street and really focuses on some of my dad's work and just as an amazing documentary. But you're right. I think he would be very proud of this moment because when he was on Sesame Street starting in 69, we all know what this country was going through. And there was no representation for Black children on television. It's hard to imagine that. But there really wasn't. And the Street Gang is great because it tells the story about my dad, but it also talks about his Muppet, Roosevelt Franklin, who, if people are my age, they will remember Roosevelt, who was really the first Black Muppet my dad created. And just, he was awesome. And so Roosevelt was a little too much for that time. Like he was ahead of his time. I think they just introduced two new Black Muppet characters on Sesame Street recently. And I they're saying, oh, the first Black characters on Sesame. I said, oh, no, that was Roosevelt back in 69, 70. So anyway, I am so proud of that legacy and the full circleness that Julia is now on. Because if my son had a Julia on TV when he was growing up, that would have been a game changer for his life.
Let me ask this final question, because part of how we'll be framing this conversation is around some of the research, critical research, but research around autism, which sometimes also moves towards the kind of curing or sort of discourse around, well, you know, eventually there'll be a generation where no one will have to, you know, experience a life on autism spectrum disorder. And I have to say, as a parent of an autistic kid, it kind of, I think, I'm not sure that the elimination of autism is at all my goal. There are so many gifts associated with how this kiddo sees the world and how she helps me to see it. So I think that's what I want to try to end here on is, for all the challenges that there are in parenting and navigating for kids who are neurodiverse, what are some of the gifts?
Well, these kids are so amazing and think outside the box and process the world differently and see things differently. And that diversity of thought is so powerful. And when that gets embraced, great things happen. We have a foundation called Holly Rod Foundation. And one of the things that we do and focus on are job placement and job training for young adults and adults on the spectrum. Doesn't have to be a young adult, but adults working age, trying to match them up with corporations who really get their worth and their value. My son, RJ, who was told at 3 years that he would never do a whole lot of things. One of the things that the list that she ran down, she said he would never have meaningful employment. And so one of the reasons why I wanted to share RJ's story, and long before he got this amazing job with the Los Angeles Dodgers as a clubhouse attendant, and he got a World Series ring and all those amazing things, long before that even happened, I wanted to share the journey because I believed that that would help people see and understand that this is a spectrum and it is a journey. And there are so many beautiful things that they can do. There are amazing gifts. To your point about the curing piece, I just don't like to pass judgment on anybody who's on mm-hmm. this journey, who wants to, you know, it to be eradicated or wanted to be cured, or there was recently a famous autism mom who announced that her son didn't have autism anymore. I felt some kind of way about that personally, but then I had to check myself and say, you know what, if that is that person's journey, that's fine. My journey is to celebrate who these people are and to embrace their autism and not focus on curing it or trying to eradicate it. Embracing their neurodiversity, embracing the way that they are, normalizing their behavior in a lot of ways, trying to give them the tools to make it through this world, but at the same time, making sure that people understand how beautiful and valuable they are, as God put them on this earth. So it's such an amazing question, Melissa. And I kind of sit on the middle and allowing, I had to get to this point, wasn't always there. I had to work myself up to this point to be a little bit more understanding and compassionate to people who really just want to say, get rid of autism and hopefully it'll never exist. My feeling is that if it being embracing it brings some pretty, pretty cool things. So that would be my thought on that.
Yeah. And compassion for everyone on every part of this journey. That sounds right to me. Holly Robinson Peete, actress, Gangsta Mom times 4. Thank you for joining The Takeaway.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.